Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There we go. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show!
And welcome once again to the One Show, the podcast that has one simple mission: to protect you and all of humankind from TV's The One Show, lest it try to kill again. I am John Holmes, and once more we are forming a shield made of podcasting to try and prevent television's lightest of lightweight programmes from hurting you and your family anymore. We watch it on your behalf because we must all know the true enemy. On the green sofas this week, then, a Shatner shambles, Alex hates gamers, and Tom Daly, accent obsessive. Joining me as we hold The One Show to account for its crimes this week are, of course, my The One Show co-host Mark Haynes, and a sketch duo variously described as wonderfully absurd, impressive, thoroughly entertaining. All things The One Show isn't and can only dream of. From awkward silence, it's Ralph and Vivian. Welcome. So look, let's jump straight in with the first question, which we ask all of our guests. Have you ever watched The One Show before voluntarily, or have only done it because we forced you to do it for this?
This is the most I've ever seen The One Show. The clip I always go back to for The One Show, and the most I think I've ever seen it, is the one in which I think Mel Brooks is sitting next to Ross Noble, I believe, and another guest, and he is just marveling at how completely shambolic it is, and veers wildly in tone from a sort of, you know, somber, very worthy piece to a wacky vox pop or whatever, and he, having flown in and never seen it before, almost like us really, is literally just going, what is this show?
You're on. We heard the story of Patricia, who contacted us, hoping to find out more about her long lost father.
What a crazy show!
I know.
We are.
Now we fight Patricia.
This is kind of like the sponsors' break. They have to do something serious, and they'll be back to the frivolity of us shortly.
Right.
<That's
laughs>
we're serious. We just turn the page and we move on.
Right. Let's focus on Patricia now. All right.
Yes. Okay. But this is nuts. I want to.
Think back to Patricia. So, whilst trying to help, we've discovered a brother she never knew about. Okay. It's reunion time now. Tisha's at the ready. This one's sad. It's sad. This one.
That was probably the extent of my knowledge of it. Otherwise, it's been floating around close to me for the last few years. But I've never
seen it. Sort of haunting demon, isn't it? It's always there. You know, it's there. You don't want to poke it or disturb it, you know, just in case.
A bad smell, yeah.
Yeah. Viv, what about you? Are you familiar with its work?
I'd heard of it, I think, is about as much as I can say. And I being asked to do this, fantastic. Right, The One Show, and we'll have to We'll have to watch that, will we? Okay. Nice. But it is good to broaden one's horizons, to investigate other cultures. See how people live.
Yeah, well, this was a good example, I think, this week of what we'll call the Mel Brooks syndrome because of William Shatner, who brought... Let's start there, because Mark and I watch this a lot for, you know, because we hate ourselves. And so we have to do this, and we see this a lot with Hollywood stars, but sometimes, occasionally, you know... Gold that stinks.
But before we even get there, it's absolutely worth saying the attention to detail of Alex Jones to continually do the Spock hand gesture when William Shatner was coming out.
But first, the man who boldly went where no man has gone before when he played Captain James T. Kirk in Star Trek, and now William Shatner is boldly delving into the mysteries of the universe.
Which is a little bit like having Mark Hamill on and shooting Greedo in the stomach, the idiot. He was talking about his new show, which is called Unexplained. Yes. And that's how they should have left it.
Yep.
I mean, the thing is, it started badly because, A, he's looming on a screen from his American house, isn't he? His great big moon-shaped Shatner planetoid face.
I think that's the closest shots that we've ever seen William Shatner's face. It's very exciting how technology has progressed. You can really see the craters.
He looked like he's looking more and more like Susan Boyle, which especially when he looms over. But yeah, I think this is an amazing example of someone just being told the vague premise for the show, and then having no idea what's going on while they're talking to you, and also doing an unbelievably bad job of explaining what show he's
from. So bad.
Well, he started badly by saying, they said, so what's they had a clip, didn't they, of the Unexplained, where he was narrating, obviously, something to do with ghost cities of China.
High in the mountains of central China, along the banks of the Yangtze River, lies a complex of shrines and temples that is known as Fengdu Ghost City. According to Chinese legend, Fengdu is considered to be a place where our world meets the underworld.
Which he said was an ancient lost temple, which, from the pictures, was just clearly in a river next to a major city for a start. And then he talked about, talking about how the Chinese revered it because of these underground labyrinths and all this kind of stuff. And then he said some mysteries. What are the mysteries you like? They said the mysteries are ooga booga, he said.
And some of them are like deep and ooga booga, and some are like, wow.
Yeah, some are deep and some are ooga booga.
Yeah, he had a phenomenal quote. One point was, "We're surrounded by questions. Some of these questions we ask."
The unexplained. We're surrounded by questions. Some of these questions we ask.
And at no point did he give any indication that they bother to answer them. But they do ask them.
I mean, he did mention. He said, I couldn't work out whether it was something on the show or something he was just talking about, where he said they pass air through the larynx of a 3,000-year-old mummy.
Passing air through the larynx of a monk who's been dead 3,000 years, and it makes a sound. So the mummy is coming back. From 3,000. I mean,
and I thought to myself, it's absolutely right that neither Alex or Ronan asked a follow up question on that. Who would be interested in the passing of air through a 3,000 year old corpse?
But the thing is, that was another example of everything he told us about is explained, not unexplained.
Yeah.
Everything from Stonehenge to the mummy. Why does he think the larynx of a 3,000-year-old dead mummy monk made a noise? Well, because they blew air through it.
Yeah.
That's why.
That's how a larynx
an explanation
works.
Like that. It's not coming back to life, is it, Shatner?
Using a corpse as basically a float is the most extreme thing I've ever heard mentioned on the One Show. Where are the rocks? What? Where are the rocks?
The rocks,
they're everywhere.
They're mysterious and wondrous, and you makes you think about how many mysteries are left in the world that we have no idea about.
Can I ask, where are these rocks?
Yeah, where are they, Bill?
What?
Where are the rocks? Very good.
Where are the rocks? They're everywhere.
So, at the beginning of this, he was describing Stonehenge, wasn't he? He was talking about rocks.
Yeah.
They don't know. They don't know how they put them up. And they might be the
magic people.
And no one knows where they were quarried, and they moved them across landscapes, and no one knew how. And it's sort of going, yeah, you're talking about Stonehenge.
There are these large blocks. Forgive me. There's these large blocks of rock quarried somewhere else, brought to a location, erected, and precision measurements, and nobody knows quite how they did it. One explanation is vibration, that magical people tapping the rock, setting it up, it vibrates and lifts. I mean, there's all kinds of mysterious explanations for some of these things that have no real valid explanation to those of us today.
And some people think it's the vibrations of the magic people. No, they don't. They know how this was done. We know it's explained. But you're thinking it's Stonehenge. And even Alex and Roman Kemp didn't know about Stonehenge.
Well, he did say Stonehenge, but he got confused because he's made it very clear that Stonehenge is in London.
They're in Egypt. They're in Peru.
Oh.
They're in the South America, Middle America. They are in Greece. They are... There's London. Do you know how mysterious Stonehenge really is?
He came over with that traditional American thing, which is, I don't care about British geography, so I'm sure British people don't care about British geography either.
Yeah.
His absolute determination to sort of imagine that Stonehenge is in London, nobody picks up on it. Nobody picks up on it and says, shut up, this is wrong. He does look, I mean, I think he's 91.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, he is older than even than he looks. And to be even semi-coherent, you know.
That's it, isn't it? I absolutely love the fact that they sort of just throw in, you obviously went to space when you were 90.
There is something I know I want to talk to you about, Alex wants to talk to you about, and our guest, your trip to space. I mean, can I just congratulate you? Because at the age of 90, you became the oldest man to travel to space.
In retrospect, that seems like one of the most irresponsible things a man has ever done.
But also, as they said, he didn't really want to talk about that. Instead, he just went straight to plugging a watch that he's designed.
He's invented. He invented a watch.
I invented a watch called the Webb Watch, using the Webb Telescope and the Earth and the Sun. Go to passages2.com.
Yeah, and then reading out the URL as well, which was absolutely wonderful. And I thought he's sounding, I don't know William Shatner well at all. I've never really seen him do much, but he sounds like Donald Trump, the veering from topic to topic. And also he boasts about having written an album, which did really well.
Yes, he did. So, yeah.
I wrote with two friends, I wrote an album called Bill, which did really well. We had some songs left over, and I was asked to entertain at the Kennedy Center, and we used those songs about space, about Earth, about love, and it was a very successful concert.
He's just very, very Trumpian.
You're very right about that. Nobody's really picked up on it. Even when people do Trump impressions, they don't kind of go, and he sounds just like William Shatner. So the obvious thing to make it that he's gone to space or the capital where no man has gone, you know, boldly gone before, whatever it is.
Yeah, but you just know that if Donald Trump had gone to space, he would do exactly the same thing, which is to say, to not be in awe of the majesty of it all. Mm. And not to...
Space is really small. I was impressed. I made an album afterwards. It's great. We got music on it.
A watch.
Oh my God. The watch.
The best watch.
Credit to Roman Kemp, who did actually pick him up on not answering that question about space.
Yeah.
And that's quite unusual for the one show where people actually, where the presenters will actually go, I'm going to comment on something which everybody else at home is thinking.
Bill, you're the first person I've ever heard. I just asked you a question about have you been to space, and you didn't want to answer. You wanted to talk about your book.
Went straight in there with, like, I did ask you if you've been to space, and you didn't say anything. But it did have to me the sort of sense of the producer in the ear hole saying, we have to say something here, because he keeps on trying to flog a watch website.
A watch, an album, a book, a mystery book.
by the end, he rebooked himself on the show. He booked himself for a second appearance.
I think you have to back on to talk about the various wondrous things, all of which are very mysterious, and go along with the unexplained.
Amazing.
I love it.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you so much.
That rebooking will not be happening.
He said, though, that his book, right, was about coincidence. And he was insistent, along with his magical vibration stone erections, that there was no such thing as coincidence. He said, there's no such thing. And I've written this book.
The fact that, to me, there doesn't seem to be anything called coincidence. It's all part of the mystery of life. There's no coincidence. We're in vibration with the universe, and I tell you stories about how I think there's a vibration.
No such thing as coincidence. And I thought, you're right, because now it's no coincidence. That I want to throw my television into a quarry.
Do you want to hear my variation that I wrote down on that? Well, I mean, he said there's no such thing as coincidence. I mean, he was wrong, because I was writing down the word bullshit on a piece of paper at the time. Ralph, Vivian, do you have a coincidence joke you'd like to do?
I'm just not at the same level, I'm sorry. I'm going to put into the Thunderdome.
Oh, God.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And what was great about the other guests were just pissing themselves laughing at this whole spectacle.
Yeah. Is it, having never really seen a whole episode before, is it live? Does that bit happen live?
Yeah. Yeah, that was live. Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
yeah,
the yeah. thrill of that's the thrill
Can
of
Can you
one
imagine
show.
What they cut out? I mean, they were pretty good. Yeah. Hugo Monnier, the team captain of Question of Sport, wasn't he? He was one of the guests, along with someone I don't know or never heard of called Harvey.
Yeah. Our Question of Sport team captain, Hugo Monnier, and singer Harvey.
Who is the other guy? Who is the other guy?
He's a celebrity, obviously. He was in a celebrity dancing show, so...
Yeah, it's on the one show.
Yeah.
He's doing the most amazing man-spreading, just sat there. Like a kind of, you know, like a kid who'd been brought into the head teacher's office or something. Just sat there looking absolutely not bothered at all. But, I mean, did they just introduce him with one... With one word, it was just Harvey, wasn't it?
Harvey, like the giant rabbit in.
he is an alcoholic delusion. He doesn't exist.
That would make a lot of sense.
The thing about him is he was on Strictly Come Dancing, and at that point, everyone was like, "I've never heard of him." And now you can introduce him and go, "He's Harvey. Of course, you're on Strictly Come Dancing," and that's now his job. He's become a celebrity by virtue of being on Strictly Come Dancing, which he went on when he wasn't a celebrity. Really confusing. Yeah. I mean, this for me, John, I mean, you know, pound for pound, one of the most boring 3 minutes of my life.
So Hugo and Harvey are taking part in Sport Relief's All-Star Games Birmingham 2022, presented by our very own Jermaine Genus. What are you going to be doing then, Hugo?
See, I'm taking on a couple of events. I've got greedy with it. So I'm doing the 4x100 relay, which is amazing. Like, for me, sports day, having to do that was such a great event.
Difficult to think of anything more boring about Hugo, who is naturally quite laid back and talks in quite a flat monotone, and who is very much, he's a BBC presenter now. He does the sport, he does a Question of Sport. He's not going to say anything interesting, because that's not what BBC presenters are paid to do.
He's not William Shatner.
No. You've got Harvey as well, and you know, Harvey, a little bit like, you know, the guy that works with your milkman. He's there too. They were not very, very interesting.
Harvey, I mean, yes. I have to ask, at school, were you sporty?
When it came to like PE, me and my mate would hide.
There was lots of advice on, you know, the best way to cycle on a velodrome. Advice I'm not going to need at any point. But Alex did try and take the interview over to give it some pep, because the two of them were just driving it into the floor. And that was to bring in Strictly Come Dancing.
What about you, Harvey? Because, I mean, you were excellent.
I'm all right.
Have you still got the moves?
Do you know what? I feel like, I say it's like riding a bike. I feel like it would come to me if I trained again.
Everyone brightened up the moment that was there. They all felt on safe ground. They all felt, they knew the audience were going, oh,
yeah.
Oh, I like that show. So they all felt better again. But gorgeous. They got that just in time for Alex to wrap the interview up and then we're going to move on.
Well, Alex did try to inject a little bit of sporting technicalities to the whole thing when he was talking about doing the sprint cycle, and she said, "Oh, is that the one that goes up the side?"
Sprint cycle in the velodrome.
Oh,
honestly, you see the side of this.
Is that the one that goes up the side?
Which I thought was a valid question.
My favourite moment of talking to Harvey was just really trying to find some questions to ask, just sitting there on the sofa, nodding, going, yeah, now I'm going to say something. And what he said was, so how did you get into table tennis?
Table tennis?
Yeah.
How did you get into table tennis?
Like, that's a mad thing for someone to have got into. Like, something as crazy as table tennis. And the answer was, as you might imagine, sort of on a family holiday in Spain, when he and his brother started playing some table tennis, because it's something you do when there's nothing else to do. It's not an interesting personality detail or something crazy for him to be into.
And this whole section was setting up an upcoming sport relief show where celebrities, I'm doing the air quotes there, are made to do sport at a low level for us plebs to enjoy.
And we can exclusively reveal some of the other celebrities taking part. And it's a bit of a mixed bag, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah.
It is. There are sporting stars, of course, like Hugo, an Olympic gymnast, Max Whitlock. Then you've got Harvey here, TV presenter, Steph McGovern, Russell Kane. So there's a bit of a mix, really.
Yeah.
The closest I can sort of tell you about what I felt about this piece was about 2 years ago, I was on a deserted train on the Heathrow Express going into Heathrow Terminal 5. And it was early in the morning and there was one monitor playing the news. And the news was, they were saying there's a strain of bird flu in Wuhan that has come out. And I looked at that and I thought, I wonder if that's going to become a big thing. I wonder if that's going to affect us, because it feels like the start of a zombie movie. And I remember that very clearly. And I felt the same way about this interview, where I watched it and I thought, this sport relief thing is not going to be good. It's a way away. And I'm watching this now with a sort of rising sense of fear and horror about what I know is going to be coming. Sport relief, based on this hype piece, is going to be absolutely unwatchable. And I, for one, can't wait.
We should zip over to one of our favourite features of The One Show, which is one big thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, now, my God, yes.
Yeah, oh, my God, it's right. Yeah. So rather than, as you have now realised, rather just say thank you to somebody, they have to set up an elaborate tricking system, which doesn't say thank you. It's just annoying. Yeah. And to everyone involved. And this one involved a girl who had set up an Asian women's football team.
Right. Thursdays on The One Show is when we say one big thank you to someone going the extra mile in their community. Tonight, it's the turn of Yasmin from Birmingham. And here are her friends to explain why.
The local community, again, a very worthy thing to do, as it always is with these people. They're not at fault here, let's be clear. Right. The people that are being thanked and tricked simultaneously are not at fault.
She set up an Asian women's football team where Asian ladies, and particularly those from a Muslim background, can play in a safe space. She doesn't deserve what happens next.
She's done enough.
And they told us she was a fan of Liverpool Football Club. And the former goalkeeper, David James.
Well, Yasmin is a big fan of Liverpool and England goalie David James.
For some reason that I still can't fathom, had arranged, and I can't even believe I'm saying this out loud, had arranged for David James to be painting and decorating a gym wall.
Yeah, an underground gym wall.
Yeah. Well, she turned up, he was going to hand her a brush and ask her to help, while saying football puns at her that weren't even POTUS football phrases. What's going on here?
David's
going
to pretend that since retiring from football, he's become a painter and decorator. And today it's his job to paint a wall in the gym. Since he's in a bit of a rush, he's going to ask for her help. And he's going to have some fun along the way with some terrible puns about football.
Right, the best thing about this, John, was they didn't expect, because they've done a lot of these where they go, we've got a trick, and the person doesn't cotton on because the trick is quite basic. It's not very big.
Not actually a trick.
It's not really a trick. It's not a trick. But what happened here was the nightmare scenario, which is the woman recognised David James as being of the former Liverpool player David James. And that made his puns totally redundant because the idea was she wouldn't recognize him and he'd be doing football puns and she wouldn't realize it was the football player. But she'd already clocked him, said, "Is that not David James?" And then gone up to him and gone, "Are you David James?" Normally,
yeah,
the one
she was like,
and he just
working,
said, yes.
It's working. And
but it wasn't
it's
her.
Ruined it. It's ruined
it. No, it was her friend, wasn't it?
It was her friend, exactly. It was like her friend fucked the whole thing.
Right.
Because she didn't... So the awkward moment where she didn't recognise David James and then the earnest narration where it went, she hasn't recognised him, even though she's a big fan and it's clearly David James, whose T-shirt we need to talk about in a moment, by the way.
The most,
yeah.
Hold that thought,
what
right?
On earth?
So she goes... and her friend realised she hasn't recognised David James. So her friend takes it on herself because she's in on the... trick to say, "I think that's David James."
And right on cue, here's Yasmin with her friend Salima, who's in on the plan.
Yeah, I didn't think anyone was going to be in here tonight. It's good to have a bit of company. I'm David, by the way.
She hasn't recognised our undercover decorator, but Salima's about to change that.
David James.
Did you play for Liverpool?
I did, yeah. Since I retired, I've
become a painter.
Yeah. I've got to try and get this wall finished before 8 o'clock.
And then, yeah, she went over, "Are you David James?" "Yes, I am." And then he's going things like, "Well, this is a wall of two halves. What the fuck are you doing?"
And now it's time for David to have some fun as they paint. He's going to drop in as many cheesy footy puns as he can. But will she spot them?
Okay, you're going to do that one. I mean, this is a wall of two halves, really.
And the puns was apparently top corner.
Just an everyday phrase.
Yeah. Those are just the words that you use to describe a wall.
I'm going
to
paint this and then shove a football up my arse.
Ding.
What I love was they kind of went, "Is she going to spot the puns?" As though whenever he said one, she would kind of do some kind of high five or leave it in the air or something. Rather than just go, What the fuck's he on about?
Yeah, just because they're just everyday idiomatic phrases from football that people use anyway.
I'm just going to do this top corner. Got to make sure I don't dribble any paint on the floor here. And how often do you train?
2 times a week.
Do you ever do extra time?
Yeah, Roman said he got 4
in. A grand total of 4 puns. And Yasmin hasn't spotted a single one. Well done, David.
Is he got 4 in a football joke as well? Is that like 4 goals in the goal?
Yeah.
Very confusing.
An amazing thing to my mind about this, what was essentially sort of a cross between Trigger Happy TV and the Make-A-Wish Foundation, with someone that she hadn't asked for and clearly didn't recognise. Also, if it was her hero, and it's very clear that he was not her hero by any stretch, if you did meet your hero and he's partway through like a manual labour job, if he then pressures you into helping him so that he can knock off early and watch telly, that's quite a weird way to get to meet someone. Like, you respect him as a footballer, but this is actually a bit strange that, "No, I don't want to paint this wall with you, you odd man. I'm sorry your life is going so badly, but
that was the other thing.
Nice to meet you. Bye."
Yeah, that was the other thing, that it was a wonderful kind of indictment of his career, that the idea of him having become a painter decorator wasn't implausible at all. So it wasn't like, it wasn't like David Beckham, getting loose change by doing some painting jobs. It was more like, this is what's happened to David James. That's completely plausible.
That's a shame.
There was a shift in emphasis because they originally had said one of her favourite players, David James.
Yeah.
And then 2 minutes later, Ronan said he was a player in one of her favourite football team, Liverpool. The closer we got to David James meeting her, the more they were distancing the
Great. The setup entirely relies on her agreeing just to put on some overalls and do some painting with this man. Like, she hasn't got anything else to do, and her friend's there just going, "Yeah, we should do this."
But let's not forget as well, she'd gone to the gym to work out in the gym.
Because she's a footballer.
She handed a paintbrush by David James. What? Wearing a T-shirt that said "Play Ya
Ding
Play Ya Ya Ding Dong."
When I heard about the amazing work that Yasmin was doing, giving women from all backgrounds a safe place to play football,
I had to get involved.
Yeah. He's there to say thank you to a woman who runs a safe space Muslim football team. And he went through his shirt.
A male football player as well to do this.
In a quiet area of a gym where he's engaged during conversation, he chose the t-shirt out of everything he owned. He went for the one that said on it, "Play Ya Ya Ding Dong."
And the producer said, yeah, that's great. Go with that.
Fine.
So the producer obviously didn't Google it like I did.
Oh, what?
So I don't know whether David James is having a little joke here, but well done, David James, because it's the title of a song from a Will Ferrell spoof Eurovision Song Contest film, right? Mm-hmm. But the song is just about erections and fucking.
Oh,
and
my.
That's what it's. The song is literally about. You think ding dong, it can't mean. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
I mean, credit to David James pulling off the last-minute save on a terrible face.
Do you think David James is like Mark Zuckerberg and he's only got T-shirts that say, play Ya Ya Ding Dong? He's only got one T-shirt.
Let me share with you some of the beautiful lyrics from the song. When I feel your gentle touch and things are going our way, I want to spill my love on you all day, all day. Ya Ya Ding Dong, my love for you is growing wide and long. Ya Ya Ding Dong, I swell and burst when I see what we become.
Safe space for Asian female football players.
The back corner of a gym with a strange man in overalls. Sorry, was sexually that, was, suggestive shirt.
Was back corner there a footballing pun? I wasn't sure.
Oh, yeah, I got a little green tick in the corner and a ding, but you didn't get it, so.
Damn it. For me. They went outside and all her friends had gathered there and they played that video message on the One Show's video track.
I'm shocked, actually.
There's some more people who would like to thank you.
Hi, Yasmin, it's Jermaine.
Clearly, they budgeted for back in the pandemic, saying we need this to take it out. Now they've got it. It's used once a week to screen these little films for people who don't deserve to be harassed.
Didn't you think that any of the people that they displayed would have been better than David James to have gone through the stuff?
Yeah, well, they weren't available.
I love Jermaine Jenas, who is a One Show presenter, but also a former footballer. And he opened up, he did his thing. He's just sort of said, "Hello, Yasmin, you've done such a great job. It's Jermaine here. I think that sports should be accessible to all."
We agree that sports should be accessible to all.
Oh, very brave opinion of you there, Jermaine. Deciding that everyone can enjoy sports.
He was going to, I did look this up as well, he was going to be the person in the gym at first, but he couldn't, because he had a t-shirt that said, "I want to put my cock in you, you bitch."
they showed Alex Scott as well, another One Show presenter over the years, and they decided to illustrate her, even though she's probably been on the show, I'd say 50 times, they decided to illustrate Alex Scott, the footballer, with a photograph taken from a long distance away, where she was sort of half shouting, like it had been taken by a stalker. And then it cuts to that thing of going, Alex Scott has done it. And it cuts to her just in their sort of like dressing room.
And our very own Alex Scott had this message for Yasmin.
"Hello, Yasmin. I am so impressed."
So why did he just take a nice snap? I have no idea. Overthinking the One Show. I bet they also paid money to license that. I bet it was like 80 quid from Getty. Bad decisions.
You're right. But it was sport. There was a lot of sport going on because Greg James was jumping in a pool. Some sort of Radio 1 challenge. And Tom Daly presenting. I don't think we've seen Tom Daly presenting before.
No, we haven't. And I am going to just run this up here. I mean, this seemed to me something which I was entirely behind. This seemed to me like the One Show's quick attempt to get in there and try and make the heads of as many racists and Brexiters and hard right Tories explode in 30 minutes. So you had a show presented by Tom Daly. It had the Yasmin and the Asian football team. It had the Commonwealth Games, where we talked to a lot of people from ethnic minority backgrounds and Commonwealth countries, which we don't normally have. We then got, the last thing was Joe Lycett talking about art. And I thought, as a show, it was gay, it was ethnic, it was multicultural, it was feminist, it was dull, but you know, you can't have it all. But I did think the only person who wasn't fully behind this sort of new Woke One Show, which I am 100%. I'd love them to just do one episode a week where they just go, welcome to the Woke One Show. And they can really wind everyone up. Ronan Keating, who was with Tom Daly, as he described him, the fabulous Tom Daly. Fabulous being basically the other word for gay.
A little dog whistle there.
Yeah, it wasn't it. And there was a little bit where Tom Daly was saying, we're going to see Greg James in the pool. He said, wearing something I know very well, a tiny pair of trunks.
Find out what that's all about a bit later. And all I'll say is, it involves Greg and something I know very well, a pair of tiny little trunks.
Yes, yes.
And Roman just went, yes, yes.
You know, don't want to think about it.
Tom, you know, I don't have a problem with it. I just don't want to keep talking about it.
That was the main feeling I got from those two, was that sort of Roman Kemp as the kind of the cool uncle, with Tom Daly as the nephew who was violently sick on cider last night and is now on his best behaviour. And so he's being really good and talking to all the guests.
Yeah. He had a classic thing as well, which was being the first time presenter, being deeply perky. And you could look back on that, I think, as you know, when you go back through it, as I'm sure he does, I'm sure he'll rewatch that. He seems to be the sort of person who, like in sports, you have to continually rewatch what you did to get better. He'll apply the same focus towards television, and he'll be sitting there watching that back, and I think he'll go, oh, a little bit perky.
It's going to be the first come off games I'm actually going to be watching as an athlete.
And you're still so young. Well, and you could easily get gold if you went this
year.
I
don't know about that. You can't. You have to be in it to win it.
The trunk thing came back, though, didn't it? As if that wasn't enough to annoy middle Britain. Mm. When Greg James had to jump off a high diving board wearing board shorts. Yeah. And Tom Daly almost angrily went, well, they aren't the tiny trunks we were promised. Yeah.
It's the moment we've all been waiting for. Up the stairs, although they aren't the tiny trunks we were once promised.
I will say, he did a couple of years ago talk quite frankly about what he saw as the objectification and sexualization of him as a diver because of the fascination with his tiny little shorts. And he talked about doing magazine covers where they put him in those. And he talked very frankly about how he felt you wouldn't have done that to a female diver and that it was objectification. And I was a bit like, I was right on your side with that. Yeah. And now there you are going, can't see. I'd like to see Greg James in a budgie smuggler. Yeah. Oh, mate. He did say this is the first Commonwealth Games he's not been in for 21 years. Mm. Yeah. And then he mentioned, I started when I was 7.
Now, am I right in saying this is the first time in 21 years you haven't competed in a Commonwealth Games?
Yeah, I mean, I started 21 years ago when I was 7.
Did England field a 7-year-old diver in 2001? Just unbelievable. 7.
Are you allowed to do it that young?
I suppose it's very difficult for them to work out whether or not a 7-year-old is diving or is being thrown off. You can't tell.
It's not illegal to put a 7-year-old on a diving board. What they choose to do then is entirely up to them.
And there we glue ourselves, protest alike, to the One Show to prevent it from going any further. It has a terrible effect on the broadcasting environment. I once saw a slick of pieces to camera in a regional shopping centre kill 100 seabirds. We'll be back tomorrow. So join us for part 2 of this week's The One Show Show. Come on,
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. acast.com.